Good morning. Good Hope. Amen. Y'all give it up for those guys over there. Amen. One of the amazing things that God can always do is change the course of our direction at any moment. I love the fact that the Word of God says that He can do things suddenly. And it is no mystery that it is the Lord that has lifted those brothers. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's encourage them. Amen. I am so delighted and honored and privileged to be here with you all this morning, all the way from Philadelphia. Now, I got to let you know, your pastor has kept his word except for two things. Now, he know my daddy is a former Philadelphia Eagle. And he had me picked up from the airport by a Houston Texan fan. And then on the way to church this morning, the brother right here had the nerve to say, "You know I ride with them boys." I said, "Oh, Lord." I said, "I'm in trouble this morning." But I said, "We all right because we the same in the spirit." Amen. And so we are excited to be here to celebrate my Uncle DZ's 30th pastoral anniversary. Amen. Come on, give it up for the angel of the house. Amen. And he has been everything that my father said that he would be. My father was very clear to me before he went home to be with the Lord. He said, "Son, you will see now who is for you. You will find it out very quickly, my son." And I've said it to you privately, but I want to say it publicly to you in front of the church that you serve. Thank you for honoring your word to my father. Thank you. Well, up in the interest of time, there is a word for the Lord, and I believe that this will be a word that will be able to speak to these 30 years that God has blessed your pastor with. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the 6th chapter. Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, and we're going to start at verse 1 here. It says, "Now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, 'Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono.' But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messages to them saying, 'I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?' But they sent me this message 4 times. Thank you, Lord. And I answered them in the same manner." I believe that's enough for today. For a few brief moments that we have, I'd love to preach from the subject, "After all these years, is still not enough to make me quit." After all these years, is still not enough to make me quit. It has been, for some, an amazing 30-year journey with Pastor DZ Cofield. It has been, for some, a clear journey. But for all of you, it has not been the journey that he has had. There has been a journey these 30 years that only he himself can speak to. I am reminded of the words of my father, who said to me before I took over the church he served for 40 years, he said, "Son, how you start your ministry is how you will finish it." He said, "Son, if you are understanding that you are in for a fight, if you are understanding that you are in for a battle, if you understand that when you are called to fulfill the purposes of God, that there are all kinds of uncertainties that are going to come up against you." And he gave me this wisdom because he wanted me to know that being a pastor was not just what takes place on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is, as he would say, the chores of ministry. He would say, "Son, it is easy to be able to stand and to preach and declare what God has given you to declare, because that is you operating in your gift. But what happens when you are leaving the pulpit and you are forced to deal with different personalities than your own? You are forced to consult and to counsel those who even at times in private have been conspiring for your downfall." He said, "Son, it's easy for you to preach when you are an associate because you do not have the weight. But when the weight of the ministry is on your shoulders, are you still able to stand and declare the spiritual things in the midst of stormy seas?" I got this passage about Nehemiah, and I thought about you because I know the word Nehemiah means the comfort of Yahweh. And I understand that Nehemiah was on an assignment to restore the people of God. He was a ring bearer. He was sent by God in order to not only rebuild the physical walls, but the spiritual walls. The physical walls and the spiritual walls were down with the people of God. But God had a builder by the name of Nehemiah, who was a man. Even though we call David a man after God's own heart, Nehemiah was God's builder. Is there anybody here this morning that can testify that Pastor D.Z. Cofield is God's builder? That God sent him over 30 years ago in order to build what the Lord wanted him to build. And Nehemiah gives us this wonderful, wonderful example, because he wasn't about position, but he was about just being pure before God. He was not about being popular, but he was concerned about being powerful for God. He was not concerned with being pushy, but he was willing to be patient to fulfill what God had. When I think about Nehemiah, I think about my Uncle D.Z. Cofield. I think about how he's been called by God, that he's been commissioned by God, that he has been committed to God, and that he is controlled by God. As I said to you before, that it is how you start a thing, as my father told me, is the same way you are going to finish. Uncle DZ, I wasn't there when you started pastoring this church, but I got to believe that you had the same burden that Nehemiah had. It was in chapter 1 when Nehemiah heard that the walls of the city were down, when he heard that his brethren were in captivity. He heard, and the Bible said that he sat down and he wept and he mourned for many days. And he fasted and he prayed before the God of heaven. And he prayed for him to get his instruction so God could speak to him. I got news for you, Good Hope, that Pastor DZ, before he took this assignment from the Lord, that he had heard from God. God had spoke to him. God had given him exactly what he needed to do. He had sent him all the way from New York to Houston, Texas, in order for him to help rebuild what God wanted to do in this community. And hasn't God honored what Pastor D.Z. Cofield has been doing? Look at the programs. Look at the ministries. Look at all the things that have come as a result of the vision that God has given to him. But beloved, I wish I could just stop there and it would be peaches and cream and we could just shout hallelujah and go home. But there is a text. And in this text, you have to understand that in the text, it shows us that in all of our opportunities, there is always opposition. I wish I could tell you that everybody here is for us. I wish I could tell you. I can't speak for Good Hope, but I can speak at Greater Exodus. And Unc, I learned in my short year and a half that everybody who is a member is not a part of the body. I've come to discover that everybody who is on the church roll is not in the same program and on the same level and in the same harmony of what God is trying to do here. And I want you to know, Good Hope, that whenever the Lord is at the center of something, there is always a confrontation. And there's a confrontation because people want to confront what they can't control. There's a phase to every disruption, to every divine purpose. And I want you to see this. I want you to see this, that they move from criticism to conspiracy. See, they tried in the fourth chapter to just criticize them. They said, what is it that Nehemiah and these feeble Jews are doing? Will they rebuild this wall that it will fall over against themselves? How many know when Pastor D.Z. Cofield came here some 30 years ago, there were some people that probably laughed at him. There were some people that probably felt that he wasn't going to be able to fulfill the assignment. And they started with criticism, but then they moved to conspiracy. You do know that sometimes there are people who are around you that want your position. They never would stand up and do your assignment, but when you start doing what they weren't willing to do, then all of a sudden they want to be where you're at. But how many know after these 30 years, Dr. D.Z. Cofield is still saying, I've seen this. I've seen this happen in my life. I've seen all these ups and downs. I've seen the storms. I've heard preachers in this corner. I've heard preachers in that corner. I've heard people on this side. I've heard this person on that side. But it has still never left me to a point that I want to come down. I hear the words. I can't come down from my assignment. I can't dilly-dabble. I can't be distracted. I cannot put myself in a position to come away from the purposes of God because there is an assignment that I have to fulfill. Is there anybody here this morning that's grateful for Dr. Z.Z. Cofield that he was willing to say that I will endure through any test that comes my way, through any trial that comes my way, through any tribulation that comes my way, and through any tragedy that comes my way? But all I looked at the text and I said, why is it that he's not coming down? I understand that it's a good work from God. I understand that he has a mantle that he has to fulfill from God. I understand that he's doing God's work. And I understand for you that you've been called to be here at this church. But if you would just allow me, I got to ask you this openly. If you would allow me just to use my homiletical imagination and speak for you this morning. If I'm wrong, you can stand up and say, shut up, boy, and get back on a plane to Philadelphia. But if I'm right, then I want the power of the Holy Spirit to infiltrate this place to understand that these principles can be followed not only for your pastor, but they can be followed for you. Pastor DZ, if you don't mind, can I call him Unc, y'all? He is my Unc. Can I call him Unc? Unc, I see this, that the reason why you haven't came down from the wall is because you've been using the rejuvenating word of God. It's been the word of God that's made the difference in your life. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And how many times, Unc, were you on the brink of possibly maybe giving up, but when you opened the word of God, it spoke to you. Proverbs 30:5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Now, I'm talking to my uncle, but is there anybody here that can raise their hand and say that some kind of way the word of God rejuvenated me? I thought I was going to lay flatline. I thought I was going to give up. I thought that I'd had enough. But when I sat down, when I was able to meditate, meditate on God's word, when I was able to meditate on what he was saying in his word, then things in my life begin to change. I begin to go to the passage of Mark when there was a storm breaking out and Jesus already declared, let us cross to the other side. Is there anybody here that have seen some storms in your life just like your pastor has, but all of a sudden the word of God brought you off the mat of life and you came into the house of the Lord and said, I will bless the Lord at all times and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Is there anybody here that can testify this morning that I might not be the pastor, but I had some things in my life. I had some pains and I had some things to get through, but when I trusted the word of God, I couldn't trust my opinion. I couldn't trust my feelings. I couldn't stand on what I felt, but when I stood on what God said, I understood that he framed the whole world by his word, and because his word was good enough to frame the world, then it's good enough to stabilize my world. Is there anybody here that can say, I've used the rejuvenating word of God? But in that rejuvenating word of God, there are reassuring promises. Thank you, Holy God. I thank you. Not only does he give you the word, but Uncle DZ, I can tell you, I think that you've been believing and the reassuring promises of God. Joshua 21, 43 and 45 says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn and gave to their fathers, and they took possession of it and they dwelt in it, and the Lord gave them the rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. God, Uncle DZ, I can only imagine that God made some promises to your father. He made some promises to your father before you were even in ministry that right now he is fulfilling in your life. He is fulfilling in your ministry. It says, and not a man, all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. And this is where I get my shout at. I don't know it about you, but it says, and not one word. I'm in the wrong church. Let's try it again. Not a word. Let's try it again. I'm slow too sometimes. Sometimes I don't get it at the first time. But not a word fail. How many know that you can rest assured that none of his word will fail in your life? Is there anybody here that can say, I've been reassured because his word is tried and proven? I know this is not your anniversary, but I need you to look at somebody and say, neighbor, I've been reassured. When I wanted to quit, I've seen all the things come to fruition. And it says that not one word fell of good thing which the Lord had spoken. God, help me here. When God speaks something over your life, nobody can cancel what God puts before you. What God said to Pastor DC before he came to this church, he brought to fruition. Is there anybody here that can testify who's been a witness here at Good Hope to say that the Lord has honored his word? He's been using the rejuvenating word of God. But then I see something else, Uncle DZ, and if I'm wrong, you can tell me. You've been reciting the rehabilitative prayers to God. One thing I love about Nehemiah, and I appreciate this, and Uncle, you know this, that Nehemiah never wanted to respond. All the criticism, everything that came up against him. If you study the scriptures, you understand that the first thing that Nehemiah did was he prayed. He didn't have time to have every conversation with everybody. He didn't have the energy to answer every criticism that was coming his way. He didn't have the ability to be able to answer every critique that came his way, but he understood that if he could pray to God, he understood that if he could pray to God, that whatever hurt he felt from the criticism, whatever hurt he felt from the load, that some kind of way that God would rehabilitate him on his knees. Is there anybody here that can testify? Like I said, you may not have been the pastor, but you have had some rehabilitative prayers that you've prayed, that you've got in your closet. In some kind of way, God repaired you. Some kind of way, God refreshed you. Some kind of way, God renewed you. Some kind of way, when you came up out of prayer, you didn't feel like how you felt when you went in. When you went in, you felt like the whole world was on your shoulders. I don't know, Uncle DZ, I've only been pastoring for a year, but there's times where I've come up and I felt like the whole world was on my shoulders. But when I found a way to get into the presence of God, some kind of way, he gave me some grace. He gave me some strength. He allowed me to be like Paul, that in my weakness, his strength became perfect. Is there anybody here that can testify to that? That you've had to recite some rehabilitating prayers? You've had to get in your closet when all hell was going on in your life? You can't respond to it. But if you go to God in prayer, how many of you know that he will answer? And not only will he answer, but he will fight every single battle that is in your life. I need you to high five a neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't got to talk to you. I ain't got time to talk to you. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry every single thing to God in prayer. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I almost feel my wings. I almost feel my wings. I'm trying to keep it together. Uncle DZ, I understand that you used to be at Dallas Theological, and I know you used to do your lectures, and I know that we have some scholars in the room, so I'm going to try to keep it down. I know that you've used the rejuvenating word of God. I understand that you allowed yourself to recite rehabilitative prayers, but then I got one last word. And Uncle DZ, if I'm lying, you tell me to shut up and I'll take this mic and put it down. But you've been waiting on the rewarding purposes of God. That it didn't change when you thought it was going to change. You understood Ecclesiastes 3:1, that says, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. And you understood, Uncle DZ, that there are cycles in life, that there are spiritual summers, there are spiritual springs, there are spiritual falls, and there are spiritual winters. But you understood that it was best for you just to wait on God. Is there anybody here that's grateful for the fact that he waited on God and not for the co-signing from the crowd? Is there anybody here that's grateful that he was able to trust in the Lord with all of his heart and lean not to his own understanding, but in all his ways acknowledge him and he would direct his path? Is there anybody here that can testify that Pastor DZ has been waiting for God to give a payday someday? Is there anybody here that can say, I haven't been the pastor, but I've waited on the Lord. And every time I waited on the Lord, he never put me to shame. Is there anybody here that can lift their hand and open their mouth and say, I waited on the Lord. And he always heard my cry. I waited. I was like David. I patiently waited on the Lord. Y'all excuse me for a minute, but I was trying not to go here, but I gotta preach like I'm at home. I feel like David patiently waited on the Lord, and the scripture said that he inclined his ear to him, and then it says that he delivered me up out of a horrible pit, and then the word of God says that he set my feet on a rock, and then he put in my mouth a new song, that all would hear it and fear the Lord. Uncle, I'm going to my seat this morning, but I gotta tell you that I know that you waited on God. I know that you didn't know. I know that you didn't know every turn. I know that you didn't know every storm that was coming. I understand you didn't know every hill that you had to climb, but you continued to wait on God. You continued to wait on God for him to renew your strength. And I know y'all some Texans fans in here, and I understand y'all some Cowboys fans in here, but the word of God vindicates me, because it says they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. And then it says they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Y'all excuse me for a minute, but ooh, Lord, help your boy to preach this thing like I feel it in my soul. I'm so glad that you got a pastor that tried. He's tested and tried, and he tried the word of the Lord. Lord, when people wanted him to come down, he said, I'm about a great work, and I cannot come down. I got to stay up here until God accomplishes everything that he's told me he has to do. Y'all point to your pastor and say, Pastor, keep on serving. Serve through the criticism. Serve through the lies. Serve through the slander. Serve through the heartbreaks. Serve through the heartaches. Serve through the storms. Serve through all the pain in your life. Because I got a word for you, that everything that you go through, the Lord will work it out. That's why it says in Romans 8, it says in Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Uncle, I come to let you know, it doesn't matter who's talking about you. Stay on the wall. Keep on preaching until every yoke is destroyed. Keep on serving until demons tremble. Keep on teaching until every liar tells the truth. Keep on preaching until every demon has to flee. Keep on discipling until every sick person in this area comes into this church, because they see that there is a man here that's tried and tested, and he's been through the storms of life. Keep on going. I know you've seen some things. I know you felt some things. God, I'm trying not to do this morning, but I feel like preaching now. I feel like lifting him up. I feel like giving God the glory. Every time you waited on God, he proved his word to you. Can you point to your pastor one last time? And I'm going to my seat. Say, Pastor, please, 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 please don't come down. Stay on the wall. 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 That's the only word I got for you. Stay on the wall. Stay on it. Stay on it. I tell you what my daddy told me. Stay focused and keep on leading God's people, because God has a plan for this church. I told you, God has a plan for this area. God has a plan for this ministry. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that he has prepared for them that love him. Is there anybody here that can lift their hands and say, we're going forward. We're going forward. God is taking us to the next level. Every round,
goes higher and higher. Every ram goes higher and higher. Good old, keep on climbing. Keep on moving. Keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. Forget those things that are behind you, but reach for the things that are before you and press. Somebody point to your pastor and say, Pastor, press. Press on. Press on through the hate. Press on through conspiracy. Press on through conversations. Somebody say, press on. Y'all ain't saying it loud enough. Somebody say, Pastor, press on. Press on. Y'all ain't doing it right. Say, Pastor, press on. Press on.
I'm out of time. I'm out of time. Because of this, the Word of God, the Word of God, the prayer life, he ain't got time to talk to everybody. If he talking to everybody, who, when he gonna talk to God? It's because of that. That's why he's not coming off the wall. I know, I've seen it. I've seen it from afar. I haven't been here, but I've seen it from afar. I got the testimony of my father of what he said that God has done through your pastor. And good old eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, hasn't entered for the next dimensions. Somebody else handle the little stuff for him. Let him stay on the wall. Let him stay on the wall. Let him stand on the wall. I want you guys to do this. I do this for pastors everywhere I go. Pastor, you got some elders here? Yeah. You guys remember when Moses had victory, Aaron and Hur? You remember what they did? As long as his hands were lifted, the people had victory. But every time his hands came down, they experienced defeat. I need two of you to grab his hands. Grab his arms. Hold them, hold them. Hold them up. You gotta keep his hands lifted. As long as his hands is lifted, you will experience victory. Father, we thank you for your manservant, my uncle, Dr. D.Z. Cofield. Bless him, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the ministry that has come forth through these 30 years. And God, you're not finished. You have more to do. There's more that needs to take place. And so, Father, as he has encouraged me to stay with it, I encourage him to keep on going, to stay on the wall. And because of this, this is why I'm still on the wall. Bless him and keep him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.